So here it is. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1. I want to read 7 verses. Y'all ready? Okay. How we doing here? We're all good? Huh? We're having fun yet? Okay. Verse 1. Now I'm going to take a little time here reading this just because I want to explain some things, maybe if I think of them while I'm going along here. But that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Now I want you to notice verse 2. Verse 2 is a parenthetical statement. That means it has parentheses around it. And the reason that they put parentheses around a statement in the King James translation was because it was explaining something that was said in what was just previously said. So when it says that which was from the beginning, and which we have heard, and which we have seen with our eyes, and which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled the word of life, and then he's explaining what he means by that. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. So John's explaining how that Jesus was a manifestation of spiritual life in a human form. Pretty awesome, huh? Verse 3, and that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. In other words, believing and thereby experiencing this will make you completely joyful. That's pretty good. Now this then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now, I want you to think about this for a minute. I got a little tickle in my throat. You ever get them things? Feels like you swallowed a chicken with the feathers on it. Just tickling around in there. Blew. Anyway. So dark things are obviously not of God, right? Huh? Because God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Verse 6, if we say we have fellowship with him, and we walk in darkness, we lie, and the truth, and do not the truth. Now, so in other words, if we say he's with us, and we're doing dark things, it's a lie. That's what it says. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sins. Let me tell you a little bit about how this particular candy-coated sermon was suggested to me. I started preaching candy-coated sermons around there at the church, and one day when I went in my office, the faculty room, it was just before, oh, son, Lord bless you. Cold water in the name of a disciple. Thank you. Y'all don't mind I drink just a little dab of this right here in front of y'all, do you? I'm sorry. But when I get that tickle down in my googly, it ain't good. You never saw a windmill run off of water, did you? All right. Anyway, I was telling you about them... how I got these sermons. So I was preaching these. Well, next thing you know, once I preached a candy-coated sermon or two, pretty soon, man, everybody was bringing me candy just to see if I could get something from it. Yeah, they were. So one day when I went to my office, it was just before camp, and the faculty room right there, man, it was full of all kinds of boxes of candy for the, you know, they have a concession thing at the camp, so it had all these different boxes of candy. Well, with so many types of candy laying around, me preaching on candy-coated sermons, there was a lot of folks, they started looking for ideas in that concession stand stuff. So a couple of candy-coated suggestions showed up on my desk. Sister Miles put a package of Skittles on my desk. And I didn't know where they come from. And they laid there for a while. But I found out something. You know, cell phones, they're awesome deals. You know what I mean? Who would ever thought? But I took on my cell phone and I looked up Skittles. And listen to this. They were first made by a British company in 1974. They were imported to the United States in 1979. They began making them here in the United States in 1982. Skittles, I want you to listen to this. Skittles is the most popular candy among young people. Huh? I mean, what happened to chocolate? And then it says this. It says, and as a chewy candy, now they're the most popular candy among young people, but as a chewy candy, they are second in all age groups, only to Starburst, which I'm fixing to preach on for Christmas. That'd be pretty cool. But the name Skittle, now get this, where do you think it comes from? Cool, don't tell me, I'll tell you. The name Skittle comes from the British game of nine pins. Now, you've heard of 10 pins, you know, bowling, 10 pins. Nine pins, the same thing, only in England they just use nine instead of 10. And so Skittle is what they call the pin. And that's where the name comes from. Now, I didn't find out till later that it was Sister Miles that put this stuff on my desk. And she said, I thought you might get something out of that particular flavor. Now, I didn't know. I mean, all the Skittles I ever saw, they looked like this. Well, the ones she put on my desk looked like this. Do you know they make several different flavors of Skittles? I don't eat Skittles, so I don't know. I'm diabetic, man. I can't touch these things hardly with a 10-foot pole. Huh? This particular species of Skittle is called the dark side. So one day I'm sitting there, you know, and they laid on my desk for a long time, and one day I'm looking at this when after she told me it was that particular flavor that she saw, that I started looking at them. So, dark side. Now, this is crazy, but it's right here on the box. Listen to the name of the flavors. Blue, the blue one, it looks like a M&M blue. It's called forbidden fruit. The green one is called midnight lime. The purple one is called dark berry. And orange, blood orange. And then the only other one is a red one, and it doesn't have one of them weird names. It's just pomegranate. But the thing of it is, with pomegranate is a fruit that, and the name pomegranate means an apple with grains or seeds in it. They should have called it Rebellious Red. I think that would have been a better name. Now, before I go any further, I don't want anybody going out here saying, hey, man, I heard something last night. My brother Taylor preached against Skittles. You eat them things, man, demons going to jump right out of them, go right down your throat. Next thing you know, it's all going to be bad. That's not what I'm doing. I'm using these Skittles just to get you to listen to the truth about the danger of dark things. Because you see, if we say we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and the truth is not in us. So our text, you know, warns us, professing Christians, that if we say we're Christians and we're in good standing with the Lord and we're delving into things on the dark side, then we are both telling and living a lie. That's not good. I mean, I really am concerned about young people from Christian families facing the spiritual darkness of these last days. I mean, I believe the increase in Satan's power to deceive in the last days is directly tied into some of the technological advances. Now, that he uses a lot of that stuff as tools to deceive people. Really? Now, you understand. I just told you, I got a cell phone. I looked up Skittles on there. I found out a whole bunch of information. I found out, you know, there's all kinds of stuff. You know, one day I was sitting there talking to my wife, and we was talking about, you know, when Custer's Last Stand and stuff, and she was saying, where was that? Where did that happen at? And I said, well, you know, I don't remember. I was thinking it was up in Nebraska or someplace. Well, I jumped on my phone, found out it happened in Montana. They're really awesome for finding out stuff. But because of the increased power to deceive, Christians have to have a stronger faith and a deeper spiritual experience than at any time in the history of the church, because there's so many things that have potential danger coming from that dark side. Now, Paul warned Timothy that Satan will corrupt many so-called Christians in the last days. Listen to this, 2 Timothy 3 and 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times will come. Huh? That means we need to expect that in the last days it's going to be dangerous for a Christian. Huh? That's what perilous times mean. It says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. They're going to be covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. That means people, even Christians, will become self-centered. They'll become money hungry. They'll become full of big plans, proud, contemptuous toward God, no respect for parents, ungrateful, and no purity. It says in verse 3, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontent, and fierce, despisers of those that are good. That just simply means no normal human affection, unscrupulous in their dealings, scandal mongers, no self-control, brutal, and haters of good people. 4, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of God. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That means they're treacherous, reckless, conceited, loving what gives them pleasure while pretending to love God. Having a form of godliness, denying the power thereof, and such turn away. That means they maintain a facade of religion, but their conduct denies its validity. Stay clear of people like that. Now you understand why I candy coated this. That's some pretty stout stuff right there. If you read it, perilous times, based on Paul's definition, are times when the world grows darker and darker and darker and darker and darker. So I got a couple points here to this. Now, the dark side, what are you opening yourself up to? And I want you, here's a statement. Do we realize what seems harmless could be deadly to our soul? Now, you know, one of the dangers that Christian people get themselves into, if they're not careful, is that because they don't want to become legalists, they open up to too many things. You know, in the 6th century, there was a Chinese general, Sun Tunes or something like that was his name. I've always, one old guy told me that the Chinese, the way they named their children was that they drop a fork, a metal fork on concrete, and it goes ping, ting, ping, pong. And that's how they don't really do that. But I was just checking to see if he's awake. But in the 6th century, this general wrote a military manual called The Art of War. And it's still used in a lot of countries today. Now listen to this excerpt. He said, all warfare is based on deception. Hence, when able to attack, you must seem unable. When using your forces, we must seem inactive. When we are near, we must make our enemies believe that we're far away. And when we are far away, we must make them believe that we are near. This is the same general method that the devil uses to deceive people. I mean, look around you. Satanic deception is everywhere. I mean, you go into a lung cancer ward and you'll see what the Grim Reaper has done to the Marlboro Man. I mean, you look at those casino billboards out there in my part of the country, and you'll find those whose life, I mean, it's, you know, they got these beautiful people there looking like they're having a tremendously wonderful time and all that stuff, but you look at people that's been addicted to gambling and what it has done to their life, their finances, their homes. There was a principal of one of the schools out there that incurred such a huge gambling debt that he was driving right down the highway between Neosho and Diamond, and he was driving right down the highway, and he was so depressed he ran his car off into a pond and drowned himself. And they didn't find him for several days. A principal of a high school. I'm not talking about some person that was, you know, just poor and went there, you know, to play the slot machines. I mean, this was a wealthy, educated man. So computer experts say that one basic rule it could save most people from computer viruses is don't open it unless you trust the sender. Huh? Sin gets into your soul like a computer virus because you open yourself up to messages that the devil is sending. You know, Jesus warns us in Luke about what we open ourselves up to. He said the light of the body is the eye, and therefore when thine eye is single, thy whole body is full of light, but when thine eye is evil, the body is full of darkness. You know, the devil, he knows how the point is that the illumination that our inward man receives comes from the outside of the body. And a single eye means you're fixed on Jesus and the things of God, and that's all you want to know about. So you guard your soul. A single eye is your blocking system that deals with the dark things, the movement, the moment you recognize what they are. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. I really feel for young people in this hour. You know, when I was a kid, I mean, we was bombarded with some stuff, but it wasn't nothing. Nothing of the magnitude that it is nowadays. I mean, I've seen children, you know, children that grew up with these video games. Don't misunderstand me. You know, I mean, I'm not saying it's wicked to play a video game, but sometimes it becomes this obsession. And I really believe that as years go by, it's going to have a really adverse effect on some people's ability to comprehend things. I could take you to the boy. There's a little boy that I know personally that. Even after his mama makes him get off of those video games, you'll see him sitting around and he's going, and he don't even have it in his hand. It's just got to the place where he's become so enamored with it. I don't know whether it's playing in his mind or what, but it's just amazing to me. But I tell you what, we have to be careful. We have to be careful. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, if thine eye be single, then the whole body is full of light. But if the eye be evil, then the body is full of darkness. That means when you expose yourself to the dark side, one of two things is going to happen. You will either flee from it or you'll succumb to it. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. That just means this. It means simply that the devil will deceive you into thinking that you're okay even while darkness is enveloping your soul. That's why he tells him. He says, you know, you got to be careful that the light, what you think is light in you, really isn't darkness. And then verse 36, for if thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. And then that verse emphasizing that the goal is for light to occupy every crevice and corner of our life. Like John said of Jesus, he was light and in him was no darkness at all. But there's a dark side out there. You know, of course, Sister Taylor and I, we got saved many years ago. And as a result of that, you know, we've kind of distanced ourselves from a lot of things. But every once in a while, when you're in like in airports or places like that, you know, all of a sudden you see this stuff and you think, whoa, where did that come from? Isn't that illegal? I've thought a lot of times that ought to be against the law. What's going on here? But it's because there's this continual digression, you know, where, and it gets darker and darker, and it's going to do even more and more as we get closer to the coming of the Lord. So this dark side deal, I'm just talking to you about, what are you opening yourself up to? Now, second thing is, how can we avoid being drawn into the dark side? Now, this is a really important question in the hour in which we live. The problem is not enough people are asking it. You know, how can we avoid being drawn into the dark side? You know, one of the things I think that I see, because I see a lot of young people, you know, we have all these Bible school students and stuff coming in there. And one of the things that I see with them is that they are not as careful as they ought to be about this darkness we're in. You know what? I mean, a lot of times, I mean, I've heard it said on the radio and stuff a lot of different times. You know, if you go out to the mall at night, ladies especially, if you go out to the mall, you don't park it way out there in the parking lot someplace where there's no lights or anything like that. You don't want to do that. Well, Brother Taylor, I've been doing it for years. I never had any problem. Yeah, but there might be that one time. And somebody accosts you, and the next thing you know, you're in some serious trouble. You always want to get around. You always want to be where, and that's, and the same principle applies with so many of these things that young people face as danger. Now, I know, and I don't want anybody to get, you know, misunderstand me here. I know. I've been in this thing a long time. I mean, I've heard people preach against mag wheels and cabbage patch dials and Lord knows what all else. But the thing of it is, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about real real danger, real darkness, real things that can get a hold of you spiritually and have an adverse effect on your standing as a Christian. It's time for both young and old people to wake up and try to exercise spiritual caution on a personal level. See, the devil is out to destroy you, and he has more weapons now than he's ever had. I remember years ago when Sister Taylor and I was young, and we had a garden up there at the house, and we'd grown some watermelons and all that stuff. Well, we live way up in the mountains, and the watermelons, they got pretty good size, but they never got ripe. And I was telling the game warden one day, I said, "You know what? I wouldn't have believed this, but I watched as a mama deer would pick up by the stem a watermelon and drop it on the ground so it bust open so her baby deer could eat it." And I said, they not only ate the watermelons, they ate the vines. And I remember a little game warden, he's an old man, he said, "Ah," I said, "Reverend Taylor," he said, "I've been a game warden a long time, and to my knowledge, I've never found anything a deer won't eat." Well, I've never found anything that the devil won't try to use to hinder you. He'll try to use everything possible. I was reading in one of those Daily Bread, told about a group of young people, and they came to this preacher and they said to him, "You know, we must get into the world to experience these ungodly situations and ungodly people in order to grow stronger." Now that's what they told him. You know, that's part of the devil's lie. That somehow or another you're going to be able to, by associating yourself with vile things and wicked things, you're going to become a better Christian. You know, it's going to make you more sensitive, more astute, and know how to handle stuff like that. There's no truth to that. No, there's no truth to that. You ask people about how to handle counterfeit money, and they'll tell you that the best way to be able to know the difference between counterfeit and real money is you handle a lot of real money. And as soon as you touch a piece of counterfeit, you can tell almost by the feel of it, it's not real. And that's the same way it is with spiritual things. If you want to be able to discern when there's darkness, a dark side about things that's coming at you, the best thing you can do is get around as much real stuff as you possibly can. That kind of thinking's brought destruction on a lot of people. To think, we need to get out there, we need to experience it, we need to try it so we know how to minister to these people. And somebody was trying to, you know, ease that in on me one time talking, and I said, "Well, no, then based on that principle, best way for me to be able to go out and win people with AIDS is I need to inject myself with some of the virus." They said, "Well, that'd be crazy." I said, not any more crazy than what you're talking about. You go out there and mess around with the dark side, and pretty soon it's gonna get a hold of you. The most important thing in keeping the victory over sin is recognizing when something is of the devil. Even seemingly harmless things can be dangerous to certain people. There's no disgrace in admitting that there's some things you can't handle. You just still be able to maintain a strong spiritual life. Paul said it like this: "Flee youthful lusts at war against the soul." There's some things, you know, maybe, there are some things people can do that you may not be able to do. And I'm not talking about drink beer and smoke cigarettes. I'm talking about stuff like, you know, maybe there's some people that can get involved I knew a guy one time, he couldn't play basketball. It didn't make any difference who he played with. He couldn't play basketball without getting mad. And next thing you know, he won't slap somebody. Well, he'd be better off if he didn't play basketball as long as the world stood. Kind of like eating meat offered to idols. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because if the devil can get you to do certain things, he'll draw you into a problem. Now, here, I'm going to list you some stuff here real quick. This is just some warnings about the adversary, the devil. One, we are in a spiritual struggle where Satan is trying to get us in his death grip. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, But we are wrestling. We wrestle against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So the devil's trying to get a grip on us. He's trying to get us down. Second thing, Satan is excellent at keeping you from seeing what he is doing to you. It says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world is blinded the minds of them which believe not. People that are practicing sin are under his power, Acts 2:26-18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. That's what Paul said that God had sent him to preach for. And then Satan promotes lying as a means of survival and a way of life. Did you know that? That's what it says in John 8:44. Ye are of your father the devil. The lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. And when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. And the devil's one that instigates sin. It says, after the supper being ended, the devil having put it in the heart of Judas Iscariot. So, and the devil's always nearby trying to cause us to resist the work that God wants to do in our life. It says in Zechariah 3:1, and he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. The devil's always, there's always that dark side. This is what Thompson Chain says. Thompson Chain lists 18 names given to the devil, but I'm just going to read 6 of them. One of them is, he's the accuser. That's Revelation 12:10. He's an adversary. That's 1 Peter 5:8. He's a murderer. That's John 8:44. He's a ruler of darkness. That's Ephesians 6:12. He's a tempter. That's Matthew 4:3. He's the wicked one. That's Matthew 13:9. Now, how can someone get untangled from the chains of the dark side? Now, most people make the mistake of trying to free themselves from the chains of the dark side by themselves. That's not ever going to work. You know, you're not ever going to be able to muster up enough gumption, enough personal strength, enough resolve or determination to ever shake yourself loose from the bondage of the devil and his sins that he puts on you. You're not ever going to be able to do that in yourself. You're like that lady, you know, that had her computer and had it hooked into the power strip, but the thing went dead and she couldn't figure out. Well, got electricity, lights is all on. She got to looking around and she noticed she had six places on the power strip and there's only 2 things plugged into it, and she's looking around. Well, pretty soon she found out that the power strip, somebody took the cord, wrapped it around a table leg and plugged it back into itself. How many of you know that ain't going to work? And the same way, spiritually, you plug yourself into yourself and you're not ever going to get no power. You're not ever going to be able to resist anything or get the victory over anything. Psychologists say that people who have gone deep into all types of addictions, but especially pornography, they are eventually unable to be able to deal with it. And their warped nature of the material eventually warps a person and that's repeatedly exposed to it. It's kind of like a plywood or a board. You lay it down flat if you want to keep it flat. But if you don't, you just let it lay any old way, and it'll kind of turn to the contour of what it is surrounded by. And that's the same way we are. If we're not careful, we put ourselves or subject ourselves to things that pretty soon will warp the way we are. But how can somebody get untangled from the chains of the dark side? Now, secular experts, they say that people just need to be taught. I don't know if you ever heard this or not. We're living in a time where they think education is the God that'll solve every problem. All you got to do is teach people. You teach people the long-term risk of bad behavior, and they're gonna do good. You teach them that smoking will lead them to cancer, and they're going to quit. You teach them that adultery will mess up and destroy their family, and they're going to stop. If you teach them that lying destroys trust, they won't do it anymore. How many of you believe that? It had never happened yet. Not ever happened that I've ever seen. The idea that once you inform people that their behavior is harmful, that they're going to stop it, it's not working. Information is not enough. It must be transformation. It requires the power of God. Do you know what simply informing people of their behavior and that it's wrong will do, I'll tell you what it'll do. It provokes them to hide it. Yeah. They go underground with it. Once they need, they do need to know. But the thing of it is, they need to know that the only thing that will help them to escape it is the power of God. And that's what some of us need or have needed in our lifetime. I mean, you're like the children of Israel when they needed deliverance from Egypt's bondage. Only we need deliverance from sin's bondage, because you know the devil is a cruel taskmaster. And you feel like you're backed up against the Red Sea and you think your only choice is death or bondage or die in the sea or stay a slave in Egypt. But you know, there's another option. That's what they thought. You know, the only thing was is we're going to either have to stay in bondage or we're going to drown in the Red Sea. But there's another option. There's deliverance. God's deliverance. Moses said, stand still. And God said, go forward. Moses meant you hold steady. Don't give up or drown. Just hold steady and see what God will do. And God meant, if you'll trust me and you'll move forward, I will deliver you. Praise the Lord. High school student in Brooklyn wrote to C.S. Lewis after he'd read that Screwtape Letters. And the boy's question was, when you wrote this book, did Satan give you any trouble? And if so, what did you do about it? And Lewis responded by telling the boy, I still face plenty of temptations. Most important thing is not to be discouraged to the point of giving up, even if you yield to the temptation. If you do, just stop where you are, pick yourself up, ask forgiveness, and then move on. That's the way to do it. That's the only way to do it. Now, do you intend to overcome what the devil's trying to do to destroy your soul? I know we're in here talking tonight, and we've all been around a long time, most of us. There's a lot of young people in here, and I don't know how much of what I'm saying is you're just, you know, blowing it off and saying, oh, yeah, we had to come tonight, and somebody had to say something, so he said that. But that's not the way it is. These are eternal verities. This is the truth. There's going to be a time when we stand in the judgment, and the things that I preach to you tonight's going to be you're going to be reminded of them. How that God would like to use the Word of God to let you know you can be a victorious Christian in this present world. But do you intend to overcome what the devil's trying to do to destroy your soul? If so, you've got to discipline yourself to repeat certain things. And let me give you what they are. Three of them real quick. First thing is, if you are going to overcome the devil that's trying to destroy you, the first thing you're going to have to do is you're going to have to recognize when it's the devil working. Ephesians 6:11 said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the deceptions of the devil, the tricks of the devil, the things that the devil tries to do to hinder you. You know, one of the things that I tell my students all the time, I said, you know what? If the devil can ever get you to where you don't believe in him, he'll have you then. If he can ever get you to the point where you think he's not active, if he ever gets you to the point where you think, hey, the devil's not bothering me. He's working. He's always trying to destroy. He cometh not but to steal, kill, and to destroy. That's all he's out to do. And he's always in the process of trying to do it to you. You know, a lot of times we see things happen. I wonder why this happened like this and what that happened. You know, and we're in the middle of a spiritual warfare. That's why a lot of the things happen that do. The second thing is, you need to repent. If you ever are deceived into doing something that you shouldn't have done, you need to make it right as quick as you can. That's what you need to do. It says in Ephesians 4:27, neither give place to the devil. That means don't give in to the devil. Turn around and get back on track. Just turn around. Just ask the Lord, I'm sorry, Lord, I made a mistake here. I want to get this thing back on track again. Now, you know, one of the things that really I try to impress, especially on the Bible school students, I say, now listen, you know, the Bible says, little children, I write unto you that you sin not. That's what God really would like. Don't sin. But that's not all the verse. But if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. I'm glad we do. I'm glad that your failures are not fatal. There's a God in heaven that can help you and get you turned around and back on track, and you can be an overcomer. Praise the name of the Lord. And third, you need to resist. In other words, you need to be alert to the fact that you are a target. Now, I'm not trying to glorify the devil here, but you know the Bible says in one place, says, in vain is a net spread in the sight of any bird. Did you know the Bible says? That's Proverbs. That just simply means that if you put a net out there and you made it obvious that you were trying to catch, you was trying to snare something, then and they knew that that was what you was trying to do, it wouldn't be any point in doing it. But the devil, he knows that. And so he doesn't spread his traps and make them obvious. He hides them. And he even baits them with things a lot of times that there's nothing wrong with. Yeah. So you need to resist. You need to be alert to the fact that you're a target. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, I'm getting ready to close. I know y'all were afraid I was going to preach the everlasting gospel, but I'm down to the end of it here. Because this is serious. There is a dark side that the devil's trying to deceive people with. And I come across, now let's just suppose I had some problems. And you want to get straightened out. I found this book. I've seen it a lot of times since, but I kept my one little copy here. You can find it in any thrift store. I don't know why, because I don't really see much use for the thing except for my sermon illustration. The title of this book is Consumer Report Books. And the title of this is How to Clean Practically Anything. Now, I want you to listen to this. This is the third edition, updated. Listen to this. I thought this was pretty awesome. How to Clean Practically Anything. So when I got it, first thing I did, I went back to the index. Because I'm a preacher. I wanted to see what all they could tell me how to clean. I found out that they got in here, it tells you how to clean air conditioners, appliance exteriors, and automobile carpeting. It tells you how to clean barbecue grills, blenders, blowers, and butcher blocks. It'll tell you in here how to clean compact disc, countertops and curtains, dehumidifiers, dishwashers, and electric blankets. Isn't this awesome? Electric toothbrushes even. This thing will tell you how to clean fans, floors, and food mixers. It'll tell you how to clean a garbage disposal. Now that is astounding. Glassware, heating pads, hot plates, and humidifiers. It'll tell you how to clean irons, litter boxes, long play records, microwaves, ovens, plungers, power blowers, range tops, refrigerators and rugs, shavers, slow cookers, space heaters, steam irons, television sets, toaster ovens, toilet bowls, upholstery, vacuum cleaners, vaporizers, water heaters, wood floors. But I looked all through this thing and I didn't find anywhere where it tells you how to clean a soul from sin. But I found a place that tells you that. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, and we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Praise the name of the Lord. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace. This is all my righteousness. Oh, precious is the flow makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Now, I don't have to be a prophet to tell you that Satan is trying to destroy somebody within the sound of my voice. I don't have to be a prophet to tell you that. I know it's a fact. I've seen the devil destroy people, and it's not a pretty sight. Paul said it like this. Now, I'm talking about Paul, the Apostle Paul. If you include Hebrews, which I do, he wrote 14 letters in the New Testament. Now, and he said this. He said, I get under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that after I have preached to others, I myself become a castaway. Now, that suggests to me that the devil had tried to hinder Paul, tried to stop Paul, tried to take him through some dark things. I saw a terrible example of this. It's been a number of years ago now, Brother Jarvis, but every time I think about this brother, it comes back to me so vivid. I remember I was in a service, and he was preaching. It was the only time I'd ever heard him preach, but he was preaching, and his text was out of 1 Kings chapter 20, where, I don't know if you remember, but there was a prophet that disguised himself, you know, and he told Ahab, he said, while I was busy here and there, you know, I let this prisoner escape and all that stuff, and I never will forget this guy. He was preaching at OBI Chapel, and I never will forget this guy. He was preaching, and he was talking about, while I was busy here and there, behold, it was gone. And that man, now I'm talking about, he preached that text. I heard him, and within a year, he had allowed himself to get so busy that he neglected his spiritual life. And today, he's gone. What is it that people today seem like that it may happen to somebody else, but it's not going to happen to me? It will happen to us if we're not careful. The dark side will take over the light in your life if you don't take precautions. I want us to bow our heads here together. I have a real concern in my heart. Because, you know, before I left, Brother Jarvis had asked me to come by and preach on this Sunday, and so I knew it was Christmas season, and I got a notebook full of Christmas sermons, and I thought to bring some of them at one time, but then I went back and I looked over things, and I was praying, and the Lord spoke to me and said, I need you to share this with them. And whenever the Lord does that, I always have this feeling that I'm not here by chance, but I'm here by divine decree. That there's somebody, or maybe more than one somebody, that's sitting in this congregation tonight, that this time when I've been talking, and I keep talking about this danger of the dark side, this dark side business, and how the devil tries to draw us into darkness, you know, and get us to get a little farther and farther from the light. I can't help but feeling you're here tonight, and you're thinking to yourself,
You know, you're looking at some of the circumstances and stuff around you that's been happening recently, and you're thinking, God's trying to warn me. God's trying to warn me. Now, I'll give you a little word of caution. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about taking heed to things when you hear them. You know, one place he said, we need to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. In other words, you'd lose hold of them. If there's anything in the world you don't want to do, you don't want to be careless with your soul. So right now, I'm not saying, I'm not even insinuating that you've been delved off into some dark practice that's already robbed you of your relationship with God. I'm not insinuating that. I'm insinuating that you know that you're being tempted. There's some things that there was one time you had a lot of question about, but now it seems like your resistance has dropped down and you begin to involve yourself in some of them. You're getting closer and closer to that which you one time said, well, I'd never get pulled into that, but now you're getting closer. Men, I'm just going to talk to you here real straight, and I want you to listen to me. One of the biggest causes of moral failure in the world today is pornography on the internet. And now with this entrance of stuff on cell phones and all that, it's terrible. And that's an awful, awful experience for somebody to go through. Do you know that that people, not only that, but just the temptation in the areas of dishonesty or feeding your mind off of things that are not spiritual. It just seems like it's bombarding people in this day. Evil men are waxing worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. If you're here tonight, I want you to hear me. I'm not trying to single you out or embarrass you or cause you any kind of problem. I wouldn't even want you to remotely think that was what I'm trying to do. But I really believe that you need to pray and ask God to get you loose from this darkness that's trying to envelop your mind and your soul. One more time, I want you to bow your heads with me, and I'm going to ask you a question. If you're here tonight, and you've got some things that are really troubling you, and you can see how that they could have potential for real danger, I want you to say right now in your heart, Lord, set me free tonight. Give me the victory tonight. Let the blood of Jesus come over this in my life tonight and set me free. I need to be free. Now, I'm going to give everybody a chance to come in just a minute, but and I'm not trying to wear out the saints of the Most High, but if you're here tonight and you really need victory in some area of your life, and you feel like, you know, Brother Taylor, I think I'd be better if I just acknowledged before God and got out of my seat and come up and said, Lord, my soul's in jeopardy because I can see where the devil's trying to lead me and I need your help. Maybe you'd like to do that tonight. I wouldn't want to quit right here and you leave this sanctuary and could have gotten the help you needed if you'd acknowledged to God in an open way. Sometimes that's what it takes to get it done. So if you're here and you really need deliverance in some area, and I'm not just talking about, I mentioned the pornography, but there's a million things, and it may not be that, and I'm not trying to insinuate, and I don't want you to think that if you come up here, that's what everybody's going to think your problem is, because that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is you got some issues, and you can see where the devil's trying to lead you into darkness because of it. I want you to get out of your seat right now. God's trying to help you here. God's trying to help you. Anybody? You really need the Lord to help you with this. Oh God. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord.